Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 34 through 40. Listen for the word of God. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For the past several weeks, we have been in the book of Exodus, following the Israelites on their journey through the wilderness. Today, we jump ahead to the end of that journey, and our Old Testament reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to Moses, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He was buried in a valley in the land of Moab, outside Beth Peor, but no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, as we hear your word this morning, take us where we need to go. Let your love be the lens that lets us see, the power that enlivens our hearts, the light that points to the path, and the grace that saves us. Let us be changed, having been in your presence. Amen. It was one of those news reports you only half hear, and so you miss a few of the details. Bob Dunham, now retired from University Presbyterian Church in Chapel Hill, tells about hearing a story about an elementary school, maybe in Galveston, he says, but that's not a critical detail. The reporter explained that a construction crew working on the playground found an unmarked cylindrical metal container. They alerted the administration, who called in the police. After studying the thing for a while, the police determined that it was probably a pipe bomb. The bomb squad was summoned, and students and teachers and staff were evacuated to a safe place off-site. After their inspection, the bomb squad made the decision to discharge the device. A detonator was attached and triggered, but instead of an explosion, there was only a small puff of dust. When the bomb squad examined what little was left, they discovered that they had just detonated a time capsule buried by school children in 1956. No one will ever know what was in it. Maybe an I Like Ike button from the presidential campaign. Maybe a newspaper clipping about Don Larsen pitching a perfect game in the World Series when his Yankees beat the Brooklyn Dodgers in seven. Maybe a picture of Elvis Presley, who skyrocketed to fame that year with 10 number one hits, including Blue Suede Shoes and Hound Dog. But we'll never know. We had a similar incident here. In 1952, New Providence moved out of the last building we occupied before coming to our current campus in 1953. The old building stood at what was then the corner of Main and College Streets on the original site of Maryville College. It's now known as Founders Plaza. The building was raised to prepare for new construction, and workers very carefully removed the cornerstone, which held a metal box of historical information. It had been sealed into the stone when the building was finished in the late 1880s. It was our own time capsule of sorts. When the stone was to be removed, elders and church leaders gathered to see what was in the box. What they discovered is that all of the documents had disintegrated over time. So the big reveal was just a bunch of church members stirring around their fingers in a box of dust and tiny scraps of paper. They were gonna throw it out, but Duncan Crawford's brother John said he'd like to have it. So Duncan is still in possession of a box of historical dust today. What was in it? Like that elementary school time capsule, we'll never know. We love our history. We love holding on to those memories of where we've been. And I think that's important, that we don't forget where we have come from. But this morning's scripture reading from Deuteronomy suggests that we may need to hold the past a little more lightly. Now, as I said, for the past 2 months, we have been journeying with the Israelites in their wilderness wanderings, what we refer to as the Exodus. 40 years of Moses inspiring and prodding and leading and scolding the Israelites. And now finally, they have arrived at the Jordan River and they are preparing to cross over into the Promised Land. God takes Moses up to Mount Pisgah, the highest point in the region, and points across the river at the destination towards which Moses has been traveling for four decades. God says, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And then God points out all the specific markers: Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, Ephraim, and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Western Sea, the Negev and the Valley of Jericho as far as Zoar. We get very specific details because God's promises are never just vague generalities. They mean good news for specific people in specific times and specific places. And then Moses dies. He sees the Promised Land, but he never gets there. His last experience on this earth is looking out into the future, which should serve as a reminder to us that the movement of the life of faith is always forward. Moses dies, and the editor of Deuteronomy says that God buries Moses in an unmarked grave. You heard that correctly. God buries Moses. That is the best translation of the Hebrew text. God gathers up the body of this dear old friend and buries him in the desert. Most translators, including the NRSV, don't know what to make of that. God buries him? God rustles up a shovel or a backhoe and digs a grave? They can't imagine it, so they just say Moses was buried. But the most reliable manuscripts all agree, God buries Moses. Moses' work is done. God knows that the children of Israel are preparing to enter a land flowing with milk and honey, but God also knows that it will be a land flowing with blood and sweat and tears and agony. And over these last 40 years, the Israelites have demonstrated an annoying tendency to seek security in the past. Why can't we just go back to Egypt? So when Moses dies, maybe God has a hunch that the Israelites might be inclined to set up a shrine at Moses' grave and keep coming back, keep reminiscing and remembering. They might be tempted to linger in the past instead of looking to the future. God buries Moses in an unmarked grave, so there is no place to come back to. This is a cautionary tale for us. I think we church people in particular have a tendency to idolize or venerate the past. Remember that time during the civil rights movement when we fought for desegregation? Remember when we used to have to get to worship early to be sure we could find a parking place? Remember when we built that Habitat house? Now, don't get me wrong, those are not bad things. But 10 years from now, if we're still talking about how we started the welcome table in 2008 or how we finished a new building in 2010, then something is amiss. Because the movement of the life of faith is always forward. Yes, let's be thankful for the past, but what new opportunities is God calling us to explore? Today may seem like a strange time to bring that up. This is Reformation Sunday, the day we celebrate the Protestant Reformation 500 years ago that laid the foundation for the Presbyterian Church today. It's a day designed to look backwards, a day that's all about our history and what happened in the past. But remember that the watchword of the Presbyterian Church is Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformanda, the church reformed and always being reformed. It means that while our roots were planted half a millennium ago, God is not nearly done with us yet. That being said, how many times in the last 8 months have you heard, "I can't wait for things to get back to normal"? I've said it myself. I bet you have too. But I think we're coming to terms with the idea that we're not going back to anything. The Israelites did not come to the edge of the Jordan River and then turn around to go back wandering in the Sinai desert. They didn't go back to Egypt. The movement of the life of faith is always forward. Our own pandemic wilderness, like that Exodus journey, will change us. There are new opportunities ahead. We don't know exactly what those are yet, but God has a way of revealing just what we need, just when we need it the most. And no surprise that the preacher is going to find a stewardship message in this. Being good stewards of our history means that just like all those generations that came before us at New Providence, we are always, always looking to the future. If they had been content with what they'd done in the past, we'd still be standing down on Broadway, stirring our fingers in a metal box of dust and paper scraps. Instead, they decided, and then a generation after them decided, and then a generation after them decided that we would keep moving forward. And now it's our turn. That's what faithful stewardship is about, ensuring that this congregation will always be able to look towards the future rather than wandering around searching for unmarked graves of the past. The life of this congregation is never again going to look exactly like it did in the past. But there is something that will always, always be true. You heard Gloria read it a moment ago. Love the Lord your God with heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now let's be honest, it's the second part of that equation that we struggle with. The fine print is always about the other, not just me and God, but me and God and my neighbor. It goes against our very nature. The first words most babies learn to speak are no and mine. And I'll tell you, a lot of people live the rest of their lives saying those same two words over and over and over. No and mine. The Bible teaches us to say yes and yours, or at least ours. From the beginning, the Bible has called us out of ourselves into something bigger and broader and more beautiful. So may God give us the courage and the vision to look across the river and discover what that is. Amen.